Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Child Protection in Sport Unit. We're part of the NSPCC and funded by UK Sports Councils. Our work supports organisations to safeguard all children taking part in sport.
In this series, we'll be talking about disordered eating and eating disorders in sport. This content may be sensitive to some individuals. If you need further support or know someone who might need support, we've included links to organisations that can support you on our website at thecpsu.org. Hi, I'm Carol Billington-Wood, and today I'm being joined by Carolyn Plateau, a lecturer in psychology at Loughborough University. This minicast will cover a contemporary challenge for people around understanding the impact and relative importance of weight monitoring in sport. So we'll explore some of these issues. Carolyn, why would people want to monitor weight in a sports setting?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think it's something that it's important to talk about, because weight monitoring often happens perhaps without a real kind of clear goal or understanding as to why it's being done in the first place. If we talk a little bit about elite sport, I think that's probably the easiest to kind of contextualize why people monitor to weight to start with, and then we can talk a little bit more about some of the other settings that we see this in. So there are beliefs, there are perhaps cultural beliefs that in some sports there is a relationship between weight and performance. So often weight is being monitored as a marker of performance, or as a kind of predictor of performance. And in elite level sports, athletes will have, you know, lots of monitoring, and weight, body composition is kind of just one of those things that is being tracked or assessed on a relatively regular basis. And this can be often to perhaps ensure that they're at an optimal weight for their particular event or their sport, when it comes to a key competition period, when it comes to kind of trying to peak perhaps for some trials, or, you know, a big world-class event or something like that. And it can help with guiding perhaps that some of the nutritional input that they would get, and to kind of help them to achieve those particular goals that they might have in relation to their weight or their body composition. What's important, I guess, to kind of take away from those processes in elite sport is that that weight monitoring is targeted. It has a specific purpose. It's often for relatively short periods of time, and any changes that are made to the diet or to the activity program are often really carefully controlled and assessed to make sure that they're not having a detrimental impact on the athlete as a result of any changes that are being made. You know, in some sports, the idea is to kind of maximize the strength to power ratio, and if you go too far with the kind of dietary manipulation or dietary changes, then you can start to compromise some of those outcomes. So it's about getting the balance quite carefully correct in those situations. So often it can be about peaking for particular points of the season. It can be about tailoring dietary intake to maximize performance at certain times of the year. In other sports, there may be more continuous pressures, perhaps, when we're talking about weight monitoring. So in order to compete in some sports, there may be weight restrictions in place or weight requirements. So in martial arts, in things like boxing, there are certain classes of weight categories that athletes compete in. And in order to compete in those particular categories, they have to fall within the weight parameters that are being set by the governing body or the organisation that they're competing under. So there would most likely be relatively regular weight monitoring for athletes competing in those sports to make sure that they are eligible to compete, and that they can participate in the sport that they want to take part in. Often that weight monitoring will increase perhaps as they come into a competition to make sure that they can meet the requirements in the days leading up to a competition, to ensure that they meet those weigh-ins, whether they happen just before or a few hours before they're due to compete. So those are kind of, I guess, the competitive elements. And then occasionally you'll see weight monitoring happening in sport as a means by which to assess growth and development, often in kind of younger or adolescent elite athletes. So if a coach or others working within that sport want to be able to assess kind of how much training load can be applied to an individual, they may also need to know a bit about their growth status. So how much energy are they currently expending, or you know, what's their current rate of growth in order to make sure that they don't overload and risk potential injury with those individuals whilst they're also trying to manage a growth spurt for some of those younger athletes. So sometimes it can be used in those scenarios as well.
Thanks, Carol. I think that gives a real helpful sort of understanding of why people might monitor weight in sports settings, and we'll talk more about weight mating sports in a separate mini cast. But I think it's quite helpful to look at some of those. I think I guess for elite athletes, there's lots of different aspects of monitoring training and performance that practitioners will support and undertake. But moving on to sort of when might it be appropriate to monitor weight in a sports setting?
Yeah, so in some of those elite sports settings where you have a setup that allows you to monitor weight that in a controlled way with the support of a nutritional dietitian, and that it's for specific targeted reasons, often for relatively short periods of time, you know, that might be important from a performance perspective, and lots of sports will include body composition and weight monitoring to help athletes peak and target for certain competitions and things, particularly where those athletes have additional support in place to help make sure that process is controlled and appropriate. When we're thinking about kind of under 18s in particular, or adolescent athletes, we've already talked a little bit in a previous minicast around the risky periods that can happen with some of those 18s in relation to transitions to puberty. So thinking about adding in weight monitoring for under 18s is probably one of those situations where we need to have a bit more of a frank and open discussion about whether it is the risks outweigh the benefits of doing that, given what we know about the kind of risks of that general period. Also, it's important to be aware of, you know, the under 18s in particular, and some male athletes will go on to continue to develop past the age of 18. They're still developing, they're still growing. So any kind of weight manipulation strategies or control of dietary intake is just not necessarily appropriate for those athletes whilst they're still developing, whilst they're still growing. You will probably end up doing more damage than good. So it's really important to be aware of the group of athletes that you're working with, the chronological and also developmental stage of those athletes, you know, their age, both in terms of their training age, but also in terms of their absolute age and their development and maturation age. And, you know, it's about balancing some of those risks against the need for that information. So there's been quite a lot over the past few years, or quite a lot of discussion about the introduction of weight monitoring in school environments. So primary age children and also secondary school children, about the introduction of kind of tracking or weight monitoring of young people, predominantly kind of coming from a obesity prevention lens. But what's interesting and what's relevant, I guess, when we're starting to talk about this within sport is that actually the outcomes of such weight monitoring processes in schools don't seem to have very much impact in terms of the weight of the individual. They don't really seem to result in any change, but the actual action of tracking that weight might elicit some distress or body image concerns amongst the young people who are being monitored. So in athlete populations where we're talking about weight monitoring, you know, that in itself could place undue pressure or emphasis on the importance of weight in people who may be vulnerable, who, you know, who might find those processes distressing. And it's important to think about whether or not that's appropriate with the group of athletes that you're working with, whether or not the value of the information that you're going to get is outweighs some of those risks of the engaging in the monitoring process itself. Yeah, so just because we can monitor some of these things doesn't necessarily mean that we should.
Yeah. That's really interesting, Carolyn, particularly when you said about, in sport, I guess the weight monitoring, it can just create an undue emphasis on the importance of weight generally. And I think encouraging that, negative sort of comparison with fellow teammates, athletes, swimmers, that can be quite unhealthy and, as you say, quite risky. I guess sometimes as well, in the elite world, it when practitioners are maybe monitoring performance, it's done in a very controlled and, I guess, safe, into a certain extent, way. And I'm just thinking in terms of thinking about club level or community sport, I guess one of the things coming into my head is how would it be undertaken? And it's difficult to see how that could be undertaken maybe in the environment that clubs and grassroots sport is happening.
Yeah, and I think that leads on to this idea of how would we provide some kind of guidance around whether or not for different sport settings, how can they go about this weight monitoring if they think it's appropriate? And I think that is key. It's understanding the setup that people are in and who is conducting that monitoring process. If it's being done, as you said, by practitioners, confidentially, sensitively, that data has a clear purpose, it's being used for a specific reason, and only certain people have access to that information, then it may inherently carry fewer risks than if it's being done poolside by a coach who, where perhaps some of that information is being shared freely with other athletes, parents, and other people who just so happen to be around at the time. So it's really important to think about the context in which some of this information is being gathered and ways in which to minimise some of those opportunities for risks and for distress for athletes who may be encouraged to go through these processes. It's often you need someone who is perhaps external to that environment, not necessarily the coach, someone else who can do what they need to do with that data, rather than having someone who's very close to athletes having access to that information, which may not necessarily then translate very positively in terms of that athlete coach relationship, for example. If an athlete feels scrutinized by a coach, not just in terms of their training but in terms of their body size and shape, then that can be quite detrimental to that relationship and to the level of openness of communication that can then happen moving forward. So yeah, I think it's thinking about some of the reasons that people are wanting to capture this information, and whether it's really essential to have that information in order to support the group of athletes that you're working with, and whether you have the facility and sufficient guidance to be able to do something effective with that information once you have it. If you are working in an environment where you don't have access to nutrition support, you don't have access to some of those facilities, then simply tracking that information isn't necessarily going to be that useful to you or the athlete involved. It could just carry more risks than benefits.
Yeah. I think at the start of this minicast, we said about it being a contemporary challenge for people to really understand the impact, I think, of weight monitoring. And I know that many organisations are sort of grappling with this issue and considering sort of guidance that they can develop to help the sport around some of the issues that we've talked about. So I'm just sort of thinking, when we started to move on towards this, guidance, what can be provided about weighing in a sport setting. So I guess some of the things I'm hearing is it's why, why is this happening, isn't it? So is there anything you can sort of help us on in terms of, what guidance could be in place?
Yeah, I think, if as an organisation it's decided that it's appropriate with the athletes that you're working with to engage in some form of weight monitoring, and you have a clear reason for doing so, then always making sure that athletes and parents, where relevant, have an understanding as to why it's happening, and that they have the option to opt out. That there should never be any kind of assumption that people will just submit to doing this, because it's at the end of the day, they should be given the choice about whether or not they want to engage in any weight monitoring processes. Thinking about where it's being done, is it poolside? Is it, or is it by the track? Or is it a completely separate time? Is it being done away from other people, because that will help to reduce some of the opportunities for comparison between athletes. And it will help to reassure athletes that that data is being kept confidentially and private and secure. You know, athletes and their parents, where relevant, should be clear on how that information is being used. And, you know, again, think carefully about whether or not they themselves want to submit to those assessments. And, you know, I think it's about thinking through things like timing. You know, is it a good idea to suddenly start weighing athletes the week before the biggest competition of the season? Probably not. You know, is it about trying to embed some of these things, you know, perhaps in the off season, and then thinking about how you might use that going into the main part of the season? Overly frequent weighing is definitely not a good idea, because weight fluctuates day to day, and, you know, discouraging athletes and others from engaging in very frequent weighing behaviours is important because of that fluctuation just from things like dehydration. So having clear parameters and times when there may be need for some kind of weight monitoring processes is also going to be important. And then thinking about, you know, your group of athletes, again, as I've said before, if you're working with athletes who are still developing, who are sub-elite, you know, club level perhaps, think about whether or not there are other things that you could be doing rather than tracking things like weight. If athletes are a very early stage of their career, there's usually loads of other things that you could do to improve their performance before you even start thinking about weight, before we even start thinking about some of those marginal gains that might be obtained through weight monitoring processes. You know, it's probably something that needs to be reserved for athletes who have extensive years of training experience, who are fully developed, who have the support in place from nutritionists, from dietary advice, and can monitor the impact of any changes quite carefully, rather than club level under 18s who have many years ahead of them in terms of their training age development, and lots of other things that could be developed and improved before we start even thinking about whether or not weight is an important factor here.
Thanks, Carolyn. We've talked about a lot of areas there in relation to sort of monitoring weight in sports settings. And I think what I'm hearing is that actually weight monitoring is best reserved to some elite level environments with adult athletes, or some adult athletes, rather than with young developing athletes, where I guess the likelihood is that weight monitoring can actually cause more harm than good. And I'm starting to think this almost links us back to where we started with the first mini cast when we talked about Red S and you know, the underfueling. It's quite interesting we've come back round to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, as I said, you know, young athletes still developing still require an awful lot of energy for growth and for development and for maturation. And if you start messing around with their dietary intake or promoting weight loss strategies with some of those young athletes, you will have to bring the athlete into an energy deficient state. And we know that that carries risks in terms of their health and also their performance. So whether that kind of risks their health in terms of their bone health, you know, we know from lots of research that actually adolescence in particular is a really important time frame for putting down bone, which is then protective against things like osteoporosis in later life. And if you miss that window, it's not just a case of, oh, you can catch up later. You have to actually be able to, you have to put the bone down during that time frame. So, you know, you run the risk of potentially, you know, some quite serious conditions in later life, but also increased risks of bone stress related injuries, as well as all of those other aspects of REDS in terms of diminished concentration, poor coordination, which may detrimentally impact upon performance anyway. So any gains that you perhaps might see possibly as a result of any weight manipulation are likely to be cancelled out by some of those consequences of underfueling. So it's really important to be aware of some of that in terms of managing and preventing some of those negative consequences, and being mindful that those young adolescents are going to going to need some of that energy just to develop into later elite athletes. And if we compromise it at an early stage, they won't be able to make that transition.
Yeah. And I think you started to talk about, you know, some of the real positive things that can happen in that coaching, or particularly there's a club environment. There's lots of other things that coaches could be doing that would be much more beneficial. And I guess it can be seen as perhaps a quick win, but actually there's some real long-term risks there for young athletes. So I think it's interesting, and some of the previous webinar that we talked about, we talked about some of the positive things, and I think it's trying to focus on those rather than looking at weight monitoring as being a quick answer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think in some sports it can be a quick fix, but it's not a long-term solution because of some of those things that we've just talked about in relation to energy deficiency, in relation to athlete well-being, and you know, the level of perhaps distress that comes alongside that. Some athletes may decide that they don't want to be part of a sport which carries such a heavy emphasis on kind of weight and weight making. So it's important to be aware of that, and to, you know, as a coach, particularly if you're working with younger athletes or developing athletes, to think about ways in which you can help them to make that jump to elite level and things over an appropriate time frame, which doesn't involve this kind of focus on some of these marginal gains where there's not necessarily the support available to be able to ensure that can be done safely and without risk to the athletes involved.
Yeah. And I think we've sort of alluded right through about the importance of you know, working with athletes and listening to athletes, particularly the adult elite athletes, to make sure, I guess, that they have a choice about how they might be monitored, and so that they can not only, you know, the staff working with them, but they can actually sort of be aware about balancing some of those risks of focusing on weight monitoring.
Absolutely. I think, you know, just because athletes are part of a program or part of a team shouldn't necessarily mean that they have to submit to all forms of monitoring, particularly when it comes to body size and shape. So athletes themselves will be well positioned to be able to say whether or not they feel comfortable with those situations. And it's important for governing bodies and for others involved in that process to be mindful of why or why not athletes are willing to subject themselves to those processes.
Great. Thanks, Carolyn. Thanks for recording this mini cast with us and the whole series of mini casts. And as you say, there'll be lots of links to resources throughout the website. So thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to this Child Protection in Sport Unit podcast. If you're looking for more information and resources on safeguarding children in sport, please visit our website at thecpsu.org.uk.